Welcome to The Buzz, the podcast of the Jazz Journalists Association, where we discuss news and views from those in the jazz media, writers, broadcasters, photographers, videographers, and other professionals documenting the entire ecosystem of jazz. Welcome to The Buzz. I'm your host, Rick Mitchell, and I'm here with JJA President Howard Mandel. We're going to be talking today about the Jazz Heroes Awards. But first, Howard, I'd like you to give us just a brief history of the JJA and what our mission is.
Well, a brief history of an organization that's almost 30 years old. We started in 1986 with meetings that were called by Willard Jenkins of writers, photographers, and broadcasters who were all interested in jazz. And we had large meetings in Chicago. I think we had three of them, and decided that it would be advantageous to group together for social purposes and maybe for programming purposes. And that was in 1986, 87. And then we continued to do that, meeting, setting up web pages so that we could feature our work. We started doing something that was before blogs were called blogs. In 1996, we had a website in which members were posting postcards from festivals and music that they'd heard. So we were an early adopter of new media forms. And that was part of the mission of the JJA, to use the newest things we could to promote the newest music that we were hearing, trying to be as innovative as the musicians themselves. Our mission is to support the interests of people who are involved in jazz media, that is, writers, photographers, broadcasters, videographers, new media professionals, bloggers, and so on. And we do that in a variety of ways, with jazz awards, with the Jazz Heroes, sometimes with in-person meetings, also with online town halls, and through a network that we've built and maintained among the members, among the JJA members.
How many members does the JJA currently have?
We currently have 190 members. That's international, mostly in the U.S., but on every continent except Antarctica, I think.
And how did the Jazz Heroes Awards project begin?
In 2001, I believe, we designated some people, members of our A-team, for activists, advocates, altruists, aiders and abettors of jazz. And we wanted to recognize people who were not necessarily musicians, but who were doing services to the field. We thought it was important to bring them to light. Well, we did that for several years in a not particularly rigorously formatted way. But in 2010, we decided to rename the A-team Jazz Heroes and really try to put some structure into the project. And we've pursued it that way since then.
Let's take just a minute to also talk about the other major project that the Jazz Journalists Association does annually, which is our jazz poll. And I believe nominations are now open, correct?
That's right. The nominations opened on March 1st, and they continue to March 27th. The first round of voting are these nominations for jazz awards in, I think, 40 categories now. And this is to celebrate excellence in music and also in music journalism. We're the only organization now putting out that kind of award, jazz media people. The first round of nominations is very open. We ask our members to nominate up to three candidates in each of these 40 categories. And then we tabulate those, and the nominees who accrue the largest number of nominations advance to being finalists. We have that finalists will be announced April 15th, and voting will open then, and we will announce the winners of the JJ Jazz Awards for 2022 on May 1st.
Great. This is the debut of the JJA podcast. As president, what do you hope that perhaps we can accomplish with this podcast? What are your goals for this?
Well, I hope that our podcast will increase the amount of discussion of music and music journalism on the web. and that we'll reach people who don't necessarily arrive at our platforms, although we have several, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and two websites, JJ Jazz Awards and JJ News. But we think that there is no end of ways to try to reach people, general public, people who are also writers or broadcasters or videographers or photographers about jazz, people who are thinking maybe they'd like to get involved in that kind of profession. So I hope we're going to be able to reach a lot of people with this JJ podcast. It's an exciting new form, and our members will take to it readily.
Thank you, Howard. I'm Rick Mitchell. I am a member of the board of directors of the Jazz Journalists Association and a longtime member and the host of this podcast. When we come back, I'll be talking with Susan Brink, who is the associate producer of the Jazz Hero Awards. Thanks again, Howard.
Thanks, Rick.
Welcome back to the JJA podcast. I'm your host, Rick Mitchell, and I'm here with Susan Brink. Susan is a jazz radio broadcaster in New York, a member of the JJA Board of Directors, and the associate producer of the annual JJA Awards, of which the Jazz Hero Awards are a big part. I'm also here with jazz hero Marcia Hocker, who will be joining us in a little bit. So, Susan, what makes a jazz hero?
A jazz hero is someone who goes over and above their job description in order to make jazz life possible. Originally, it was called the A-Team in 1997-98, and it was for advocates and altruists, aiders, and abettors of jazz. And because there are people who are not necessarily famous, because the award started as a major fundraiser for the Jazz Journalist Association, and it helped promote jazz as a whole. But there are a lot of people behind the scenes that are not known and do such extraordinary work. For instance, George Avakian was a jazz album producer, and he wrote the first jazz liner notes. And a representative, John Conyers, he sponsored HR 57, which designated jazz as a significant American art form. Dr. Frank Forte, he was a cancer specialist at Englewood Medical Center in New Jersey. And he was the founder of the Jazz Foundation of America's Physicians Network. And that Physicians Network has done amazing work. If there's a jazz musician that is sick and needs help, they're able to get help through this Physicians Network. And I know people whose lives have been saved because of what he's done. So that's how it started. And then in about 2010, we realized that jazz isn't just found in New York or LA. We wanted to highlight the media stories, the local stories of people making a significant contribution to the jazz scene. And they go over and above, and they make their jazz life, the jazz life possible. And those are called the jazz heroes. And we're happy to recognize them.
How are these heroes chosen?
Well, people know I'm doing this, or that we're doing this. So it starts with the Road Warriors. A lot of the jazz community is mobile. So I'll run into people and they'll say, do you know who's doing extraordinary work? You should check into that. Or I'll get emails. Or sometimes I'll just say, you know what? What's going on in Montana? There has to be jazz in Montana. And I'll look into a community and I'll start doing the research. And suddenly I'm discovering wonderful, wonderful people like MJ Williams in Montana, keeping the jazz scene alive there. And it's very gratifying.
And how are the heroes honored in their communities and beyond?
It's changed a little because of COVID, but it was and will be again. We'd hold a party for them. We announce on April 1st or April 2nd because April is Jazz Appreciation Month. And we let the community celebrate them. Sometimes there'll be a mayoral proclamation or a party in a club, or we hand the award out at a community event. So it's very meaningful. and it's very local.
How many heroes are there this year? They will be announced soon.
We're announcing, I believe, April 2nd, and there are 28 in 27 communities.
And is there a process by which the Jazz Journalists Association can introduce some of these people to each other to form a national network of jazz heroes?
Well, I've been working on that. Because what I've found is each year we have extraordinary people doing extraordinary work. And last year, because of COVID, or 2 years ago, we did a video and we had all the jazz heroes, that whole entire slate, on for that year. And it's the first time that they were interacting with each other. And that was so fascinating because somebody would have an idea of what they're working on or what they'd like to see. And someone else would say, I know about this, or I'm considering that. And have you met or have you tried? And you've got some of the best minds in jazz, the producers, the educators, because they all come at it from a different slant. We've had Sonny Rollins' dentist was a jazz hero. Yes, because of what he's done for Sonny Rollins, but also because he's very helpful in helping other jazz musicians who maybe have needs that they can't afford. So he works with them. A lot of people appreciate that, and we need that. We need that kind of consideration. We have educators, all different levels of educators and all different types of education. But it's a media project meant to shine a light on local stories, like it's giving them national attention. And I think it does a great job.
But let's also give credit where credit is due. There's a fair amount of work involved in this. You have to kind of do some background checks on some of the people that have been suggested.
It's labor intensive. There's no way around it.
And then the write-ups, the write-ups that get posted with people's biographical information. And you're involved that too. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's getting the high resolution photographs. It's getting the write-ups. And I don't do all the write-ups. I try to get people in the community to do the write-ups so that you know why they're a jazz hero. What makes them a jazz hero? It's not a straight CV. It's a why and what they've done. And when you read it, it's so inspiring. There are people doing such tremendous work. And in COVID too, amazing work, producing concerts, taking care of medical needs. They just make their jazz life possible.
Let's bring in Marcia now. Marcia Hawker is a fellow Portlander along with me. She's a longtime radio programmer here, currently on KBOO FM. She's also a former board member of the PDX Jazz Festival, she was involved in the festival's jazz education program. Marcia, could you remind me, what year were you a jazz hero here in Portland?
2018.
And if I recall, we were able to present that to you in public, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Where did that take place?
At the Mission Theater downtown. There was a Cuban trio that came in.
What were you awarded with? What did they give you?
They gave me a glass or heavy plastic statuette.
Right. Were you aware of the Jazz Journalists Association prior to receiving that award?
I was not. I was absolutely blown away. I said, the what? You know, it was just an amazing experience to receive that notoriety, to receive that award. And then that year, I went to New York. A dear friend of mine, who is the only child of the great Illinois Jacquette, lives in Jersey City. And I went to the event at the new school. And just to experience the whole event was just, I was so filled in my heart. Because to me, I came away from that thinking, my goodness, the Jazz Journalists Association is like the Oscars of jazz award programs. I mean, it was just all of the various categories that people receive awards in. I mean, it was just wonderful.
Yeah, I think the year after you, 2019, I think it was Don Lukoff, the former artistic director of PDX Jazz,
That is correct.
And then the year after that was Ron Steen, a great drummer here in town, who's hosted a Sunday night jam session since before the beginning of time. And then this past year was Randy Porter, who kept a live stream when all the live music clubs were closed. He has his own studio and he would stream out live music performances on Sunday afternoons every week. And we have a jazz hero this year, but we're not going to announce it just yet. It's still a surprise. Describe your activities in support for jazz in Portland now.
I was recently inducted on the Montevilla Jazz Festival Board of Directors. And that is something that I was happy to accept the invitation for. I'm doing that. So their festival is in August. Last year, I had an opportunity to do my first virtual emceeing for the entire festival. I also have outreach in the community. I do a number of emceeing for various festivals, the Astoria Jazz Festival, which is relatively new. I think it'll be probably in its third or fourth year. That's in Astoria. I have emceed at the Oregon Coast Jazz Party in Newport, Oregon. And of course, with PDX Jazz, I've done a number of speaking things around town. Rick, whenever someone calls me to do something for jazz, if it's within my ability to do it, I do it. I have been and continue to be available to speak about jazz in education forums and to do whatever I can to move it forward.
Didn't you have a curriculum, a jazz education curriculum that you would take into the schools with PDX Jazz?
Absolutely. It was called The Incredible Journey of Jazz. It began with Daryl Grant, who is the professor of jazz studies at Portland State University, and also the context was written by Lynn Derrick, who should be a jazz hero too. Lynn Derrick did a great deal with the context of that, and that program actually was started by Daryl Grant in honor of Leroy Vinegar, the great bassist Leroy Vinegar. And so that went around to elementary school primarily. But when I came on board in 2011, it started going to elementary schools, and I advocated for it to go to the high schools. There was a kind of a general idea that, oh no, the high school students would be too jaded. They wouldn't think this was anything. Well, when we did take it to the first high school, we had nothing but sterling reports and praises. The students absolutely loved it because it was a sextet with a live narrator. I participated in it as well as being the announcer and did a whole section on scatting and inviting the audience to participate with that. And we went all over Portland Public Schools. We were invited up to Vancouver, and we ultimately wound up on the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall stage, where an entire middle school, elementary school community brought in for gratis by Toyota. They rented buses and bussed the children in and filled Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, and we gave the performance there.
And of course, there's also your radio program that is on every other week. I would describe it, I think, as basically straight ahead jazz, but you stay current with new releases as well as playing classic recordings and bring in elements of Latin music and blues. I think it's a great show, actually. And it's the kind of show that's timeless. You know, it's not more focused on whatever is perceived as hip right at the moment. And because of that, it really is hip.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, my theme for years has been jazz, blues, and Latin grooves. That's what I did when I was at KMHD for just about 12 years, and I'm now in my sixth year at KABU. The jazz, blues, and Latin grooves just kind of brings it all together for me. My parents are from Harlem when it was the entertainment capital of the world. I heard this music from my mother's womb. This music has been a therapy, a religion, our safe space for the kinds of challenges and brutality that Black folks go through in their lifetime. And so all of those elements are really relevant in terms of bringing us the joy and the peace and giving us an escape, because we need it. We needed it, still do. And it provides that very thing for everyone else, really.
If anyone listening would like to check out Marcia's program, you can find it at kboo.fm and then go to list of programs and scroll down to what, Jazz in the Afternoon on Wednesday afternoons?
Well, mine is just called Jazz Lives.
Jazz Lives.
Yes.
Every other Wednesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you are now an associate member of the JJA. What do you hope you can help the organization accomplish in that role?
I would like to raise the profile of JJA in this town. We have a large jazz community, and I would like to implement some kind of recognition that's very specific, at least annually, but to maybe semi-annually, do something in that regard. And I'm working on that in my head. I'm trying to figure out some of the things that can happen to do that.
Thank you. The JJA Jazz Heroes will be announced with their portraits and personalized bios posted at the website jjajazzawards.org. Sponsors of the 2022 Jazz Awards include SF Jazz, the Jazz Foundation of America, High Note Savant Records, and the Joyce and George Wien Foundation. For more information from and about the Jazz Journalists Association, a nonprofit organization, including how to join or support us, check our other website, jjanews.org. You've been listening to The Buzz, the JJA podcast. I'm your host, Rick Mitchell. This is our debut, produced by Jeffrey Siegel, and featuring John Michaels performing the tune Big Vic. Thank you for listening, and come back for the next edition of The Buzz.